Blog Talk Radio.
Go ahead, pop off, me and my clique put on. I'm like a young McMahon, I'm here to get your bitch off. Like I'm Ric Flair, little finger to the big boss. Man, aka police, guess I'm over your head like it's all. Kill these niggas, that's no problem. Chill, these niggas want no problem. That chopper body like Hornswoggle, can't see you shot him like Sin Cara. Roll the rap with that shit loud. It ain't mine if that shit not. Ladies hate when I rip rude, but they in love with this Jake Bob. Like nah, say hello to my python. I'm CM Punk with that mic, y'all. She go to sleep cause my pipe bomb. Winning, blessed I be hurting feelings. Niggas is Curtis Axel, my rap is like Kurt Henning. In it, don't it, I'm such a charmer. Come crown Vic, not talking whip, I'm thinking Lawler. Cause I'm royalty, but we talking cars, it's not a problem. Just bought two big bodies, call them Kamala and Umaga. What up? You're talking to the black guy. My gang real, but I ain't never no vampire. Look at all that ice he got on. Bigger than that icy title. Bigger than my pill, man, cause I still feel like I'm flying Brian. Who high as I am? Who fly as I am? Life is a bitch, well, you this rich is more than life in China. Get it? Strong ass hoe. They can say they want that smoke. Well, I'm Papa Shango. Cause I be hopper playing low. Get the ganja, no steamboat. And I fly as a crossbody, but I'm tired of saying so. So I do so with new producers and a slew of my latest verses. And a ruthless like Rusev move, I'll be through with you niggas first. Get back to work. You're talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. I'm too sweet. I dare you niggas act fly. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico.
Welcome to Wrestling Is Factor Radio for March 16th, 2015. Your host, the number one student of the game of pro wrestling, Wayne Benitez. Yeah, what's up, everyone? Yeah, you got a special guest on here. Up and comer. Representing out the D.C. area. Let's give it up. And one half of Sutton and Peck. Give it up for Rick Powers.
Thanks for having me on today, Wayne.
It's an honor, my brother. It's an honor. And yeah, it's so much of an honor for you to stop by the Wrestling It Factor.
Well, thank
and,
you. I appreciate you having
tell
me.
Tell me, sure, definitely. Were you ever a wrestling fan growing up?
Of course. I started watching wrestling when I was 8 years old. First match I saw was Undertaker. Then I saw him do an in-ring segment with Kurt Angle, so that pretty much had me hooked.
And who did you idolize in the business?
Well, those two guys. I mean, since they were the first ones I saw, I took a liking to them. So Kurt Angle and Undertaker have always had my attention every time I watched them, and those are the guys I try to mold myself after. Undertaker, because of his striking and his just his power game, and Kurt Angle because he's the most aggressive guy I've ever seen in the ring.
And what got your interest in training at MCW Training Center?
Well, I started coming to MCW shows around the 2013 Rally in the Alley. That was my first independent show, and through the grapevine I heard that Dan McDevitt, the owner of MCW, was opening up their training academy June 3rd of 2014. So I had wanted to always do this. So I went to the right people, found out the right information. And June 3rd, I signed up for the MCW Training Academy out in Joppa, Maryland. And the rest has been history.
Also, what's your thoughts of Keenan Krieg and Patrick Brink as your trainers?
Well, I believe that Dan McDevitt, he has put the best coaching staff in front of us that he could assemble. He took some of the best wrestlers in Maryland, such as Keenan Krieg, some of the best independent wrestlers ever, such as Pat Brink, former WWE developmental talent, and he's given us as students the great opportunity of being able to learn from guys like that who have such a great mind for the business.
Yes, Patrick Brink, he was there since day one at MCW. He know what it takes to get in and out of the business. And intrigue also.
Pat's been a huge help to my career so far. I've only been training for about 7 months now, but having Pat there at the school every week is tremendous. Being able to work with a guy like that, learn different styles, and learn how the WWE likes to do things for TV, I mean, it allows you as a wrestler to really develop your craft and learn this as an art.
Yes. What are your thoughts of your tag team and also working with L.I. Green?
Oh, L.I. Green is great. He's one of the most humble guys I've ever met in my life, let alone the wrestling industry, in a very insensitive business. He's a very sensitive individual, and he looks out for me as much as I look out for him. He's been a great friend of mine since day one, and he's really just an all-around A1 person. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Also, what is your memories of working at Sanctuary?
Sanctuary up in Hazleton, Pennsylvania. The Sanctuary is a work in progress. It's a starting out company ran by the wrestling vet, John Trotsky. But since I've been there, the Sanctuary is in a league of its own. The TV production they have there, the staff and people you get to work with up there, it's incredible. You've got guys like Atu up there, Steve Scott, the extra guys. You have a plethora of excellent indie talent up there that you get to work with. So going up to the Sanctuary is a pleasure every time I get the opportunity.
Yeah, and one of your memorable matches was the six way with you, L.I. Green, Cabrera, Tom, and others. What were your memories of that?
Well, I don't have too many memories. I got beat up pretty bad in that one, and I didn't win it, but it's always fun to be able to step into the ring and show the people what you've got to bring to the table. I mean, it was pretty one-sided. You had guys like the New Age scumbags in there doing everybody dirty, trying to divide and conquer the match. So the better man won that night, and I believe it was Marcy. So, yeah, I mean, not too many memories other than the fact that I didn't get to do what I came there to do, and that was when.
What is your memories of House of Pain?
House of Pain ran by John Rambo. House of Pain is an excellent place to get your start, excellent place to be able to work your first couple of matches and get used to the crowd, a typical indie crowd. John Rambo has been great to myself. He's allowed me to perfect my craft there. The House of Pain is always a fun place to work. It's not uptight, you know. There's not a lot of restrictions on us as wrestlers. We pretty much have creative freedom to do what we please. And I feel like there's good things coming. The Lord of the Rings tournament is coming up April 4th in Martinsburg, West Virginia. So I like to just say to anyone listening that tickets are on sale now. Go on my Facebook page at Rick Powers or follow Body by Rick on Instagram, and you get to follow my House of Pain journey. And hopefully you guys get to see me at the Lord of the Rings Cup.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. And what are your thoughts of John Rambo?
What do you mean? Could you elaborate for me?
Yes, on promoter. What kind of advice did he also give you? Also, a legend like as himself.
Well, first time going up to Rambo's, I had the privilege of being able to wrestle my tag team partner, L.I. Green, in a just friendly competition, you know. And after the match, Rambo had got on the microphone and he had sang some praises to both myself and L.I. And one of the main things he told us was to keep doing what we're doing and to remain humble and hungry. You know, that's why we got into the business, to fulfill our dreams. And the easiest way to get there is by keeping your mouth shut and your ears open, remaining humble and knowing your place.
Right, definitely. Also, you also had the opportunity to work with the Punk All-Stars. What are your thoughts of working with that tag team?
Working with the Punk Rock All-Stars, that group made up of Sean Cannon and Drake Carter. You know, there's some unique guys. You know, they have a different way of viewing the rules of a match, and they choose to do things their own way. We've had the opportunity to wrestle against them a few times now, once in Delaware for the MCW Autumn Armageddon Tour. We wrestled them at the Winter Blast, and I believe at the anniversary show, and each time we came up short because, well, the Punk Rock All-Stars, they don't believe in playing fair. They believe in going to the beat of a different drummer and any means necessary to win. They recently won a contract on a pole match this past Saturday. You know, all I can say is good luck to them in their future endeavors. We're trying to beat the Hellcats this Saturday at Spring Fever.
Yes, another MCW show for the year 2015.
Yeah, we're going to be out in Frederick, Maryland.
And so I'm going from going to every county in Maryland, touring MCW. That's what they are, the leading indie promotion in Maryland.
Exactly.
And also, what are your memories of working with Andrew Steele?
I believe I wrestled Andrew Steele out in Waldorf. He's a good guy, you know. I feel like he's a little misunderstood. He comes out there and I guess he just approaches the fans the wrong way, you know. He comes out telling them that he doesn't suck. Jumping to conclusions, you know. I don't think the people judged him from the get-go, but he's one of those guys where, you know, I guess he might be a little insecure or whatnot, and he just likes to let people know how he wants them to feel about him. And wrestling him was an honor. I believe that was my first win ever, and that was at MCW. That was our DDP Bret Hart show. Had a lot of fun down there. Waldorf's a really great place to be able to wrestle. The crowd down there is awesome.
And definitely on that, that was important to go over in that match and with those legends on that show, DDP and Bret Hart.
Oh, yeah.
What are your memories? Yes.
I had asked Bret Hart and DDP to watch the match and give me some critique on it. And being able to hear from legends like those two give you critique on how to better yourself is just a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And the only place I get those opportunities right now in my career is Maryland Championship Wrestling.
Yes. They definitely legends and Hall of Fame definitely have great advice to all the young talent of this business and in future.
Mm.
What? Yes. What are your memories of working with WXWC4?
WXWC4, World Extreme Wrestling, ran by Samu Anoa'i, one half of the famed Head Shrinkers. That's always a good time too, man. Samu has been so good to myself and L.I. Green that, I mean, it's kind of mind-blowing to me that he would give two kids like us the opportunity he has to flourish in this business. But every time we go up to Samu's, it's just awesome. He has the best talent up there, and there's a reason why WXWC4 is talked about. It's the number one promotion in Pennsylvania, if you ask me.
Yes, definitely, and also with Alpha, the Wild Samoan, definitely a Hall of Famer, legend like that also has also influence on the school also, and they definitely respect their. Whatever is students or talent, and also they treat their people just like a member of their family. On what it takes to get in this business.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you had a chance to. The work with Napalm Bomb and Solo tag team up there, what was that experience like?
The experience I got in the ring with Napalm Bomb and Solo is the same experience I get anytime I get to work them, you know. They're going to be the guys
right.
that they are. They feel like they have something to prove. I mean, you get two young guys such as Sudden Impact, and you get two vets in our eyes, and Napalm and Solo, and what do? They got a pick on us, you know. They did it up at WXW. They're doing it down here at Maryland Championship Wrestling. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. Black Wall Street has had it all lately. They took over MCW, had every championship that the company had to offer. Black Wall Street's doing well in places like PCW in West Virginia, ran by Tyler Steele. They're doing well up at WXWC4 with Samu. I just don't get it. Guys like that, they have it all given to them. They earn it all. And they're the best stable I've seen in a long time in independent wrestling. And instead of just being humble and hungry and just taking what they've earned and being happy with it, they got something to prove. And they got to bully the rest of the locker room, you know. I'm a little sick of it, to be honest. And this Saturday, Sudden Impact gets a chance to face Black Wall Street again. We won't be able to get our hands on Napalm and Solo this time. We've got Drolix and Chuck Lennox, and hopefully you get to make it out there to Frederick, Maryland for Spring Fever, and you get to see exactly what we're going to do to Black Wall Street.
Yes, they consider themselves like the black four horsemen of the business. Four horsemen. And definitely they push you all around like freshmen coming into to a university. Also, what is your most highlights of WXWC4?
Well, my highlight of WXWC4 would have to be when I was given the opportunity to wrestle Jay Freddy at the Zoostock Cancer Benefit back in 2014. That was probably the best match I feel like I had. I was the most comfortable I had ever been, and Jay Freddy's a really good guy to be able to get into that ring with. I mean, he really knows what he's doing in there. He's smooth, and he's a veteran. And when you're able to get in the ring with someone like that, it's really a blessing.
Yes. Also, y'all had a chance to work with was it the get team up with the Ghetto Mafia to take on Black Wall Street, and I think last weekend, and y'all came up short. How was that experience? Also, the team was the veterans of MCW.
Yeah, it was a bittersweet experience. You know, I've been training with LI all month leading up to the event, ever since we had heard about it. Coach had put the match on, and Kanan, and he had told us that 2 Dope was coming in, and we had been training at the school with 2 Dope and Kanan, and 2 Dope ended up having an injury during training, you know, and he was unable to perform on Saturday, so we had to go into it in a handicap style match, and Black Wall Street did what they did best. They used their strength in numbers, and they tried to pick us apart, but they cheated to do so. I mean, I don't even think Drolix even got into the ring until L.I. was down, and then he hopped right back out when L.I. started to get up. You know, we had interference from Amber Rodriguez, had interference from all sides, you know. And then Drolix disrespects 2 Dope by saying that he's old and he's crippled and he doesn't have it anymore, you know. It's a little embarrassing to deal with that, to be able to be as eager as we are to get into that ring and do something about it. But Coach having us do the smart thing and, you know, wait patiently, wait and pick our spots out, you know. I mean, this Saturday it'll be okay. You've got things evened up. It'll just be Drolix and Chuck Lennox versus myself and L.I. Green. But like I said, it was a bittersweet experience. I was able to team up with my coaches, and at the same time, one of them got injured, and we had to go at it 4-on-3. And, well, like you said, we fell a little bit short, but that never deters us. We always come back stronger than ever. And that's what we're going to do this Saturday in Frederick, Maryland, when we get to face Drolix and Chuck Lennox. We're going to give them everything we got.
And definitely, what are your memories of the Puerto Rican princess, Amber Rodriguez, the first lady of Black Wall Street? What is your opinion on her also?
Well, my mother always taught me that if I didn't have anything nice to say, not to say it at all. But I think she's from World Star Hip Hop. She won the MCW's Women's Champion, I guess. That's something to speak for, but I find Amber Rodriguez to be really disrespectful. She's had the chance to get into the ring with divas like Lita, you know, Tori Wilson, Mickey James, and each time she steps into the ring, she disrespects them. I mean, if you grew up watching wrestling, you had the chance to get into the ring with one of your favorites, would you disrespect them? I mean, what does that show? What type of person does that? Amber Rodriguez is as ratchet as she thinks she is.
Yes, definitely. Her devilish tactics.
Would you say she's ratchet?
I'll give it a yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the way she twerks when she gets into the ring, I mean, who does that?
Yeah, definitely something for her using her her antics to get a goal further. Type of distraction.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what are your thoughts on the Appalachian Outlaws?
The Appalachian Outlaws, Hoss, Haygood, and Bo Nakoda. They're decent, I guess. I mean, first time we got the chance to get into the ring with them was in Delaware for the Autumn Armageddon Tour, and they're smart wrestlers. I really don't have anything bad to say about them. They wrestled their match, and that's why they were MCW Tag Team Championship number one contenders. But if you were able to see this past Saturday, they ended up losing a contract on a pole match to the Punk Rock All-Star. So they moved closer down the ladder. And the further down the ladder you are, the closer you are to sudden impact, because, I mean, we're pretty much fighting our way to the top, and if we got to go through the Appalachian Outlaws or we got to go through the Punk Rock All-Stars, I mean, we got to do what we got to do, and it is what it is.
Right.
So my thoughts on the Appalachian Outlaws is whatever. As long as we beat them, that's all that really matters.
Right. Definitely, what are your thoughts of Dan McDevitt?
Dan McDevitt, he's awesome, man. I've never worked for anyone like him. He's an awesome guy. He's not the type of boss that everyone's standing around a water cooler. He walks up and, you know, you get quiet and you stop talking. I mean, he hops in and he jokes with you, you know. He's one of the most respectable men I've ever met. He's also a former ECW superstar, Corporal Punishment, and he also did some work under the WWF. So if you talk about a man for the business, talking Dan McDevitt all the way. There's a reason why MCW is the number one promotion in Maryland and one of the best promotions in independent wrestling today, standing strong since 1999.
Right. I would say 98 when he first started.
You're right. But I'm looking at things from the school, man. That's all it's about right now is training, you know, eating our vitamins, saying our prayers, working hard, trying to make it to the top, and it starts at the school, man.
Right, definitely. He was one of the founders of Bone Breakers Wrestling Academy. Now I'm back with MCW Training Center.
Yeah, man, you should stop by one day. We're out in Joppa, Maryland. See what we're doing out there. Talk to some of the other guys.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Do you watch the current product of WWE, Ring of Honor, and TNA?
Oh, yeah, I love the current product right now. I feel like, I mean, the guys running the top promotions in the company, they're there for a reason. So everything they're doing it right.
Yes, definitely. And you had a chance to work security for Ring of Honor. How was that experience?
It was cool. I didn't get a chance to work security. I was actually doing streamers that night, and I think that's a little bit harder than security. When you work for Ring of Honor, you truly get an appreciation for what the guys do down there, both in the ring and outside the ring. The production, the setup, it's crazy. It's hours worth of work to put together a show for the fans that they'll never forget. And there's a reason why Ring of Honor is one of the top companies, if not the top independent promotion in the world today.
Right. Definitely the number two company going around in the United States, the number two. So they expanded to pay-per-views nationwide, and they definitely the number two wrestling company. They're growing from leaps and bounds year after year.
Yeah, it's amazing how far the products come. What do you feel about Lucha Underground?
Right. It's definitely another good product right there. From the sister promotion of Triple A, Roden, you have director Rodriguez, and it's definitely well booked, well creative. They got well talent from all over Mexico and all through the independent scene and ones that have been in the major companies. Definitely a good product.
Now, see, that's interesting you say that, because I've been looking at the indies, mainly in the United States, and it seems like Mexico is coming up in its own right. They're starting to come up with some pretty big things like Lucha Underground. Are there any other independent promotions you've been keeping your eye on?
Yeah, there's been other ones like even Shakara that's going strong also.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that
yeah.
is very definitely family friendly entertainment, and they definitely do a good job being a American Lucha Libre promotion.
Yeah, definitely. Talking about Lucha Libres, how do you feel about the recent news on Rey Mysterio getting released from the WWE?
It was time. He was ready because he already accomplished everything he did in WWE, and it was time to sit. He wanted to, have a lighter, more time with the family, with his kids, and also go back where he began his roots from. Triple A Mexico and Lucha Libre. And definitely he's the centerpiece of that. And also he's going to be behind also the top guys of Lucha Underground also. He'll be debuting very soon for that company.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that.
Right.
Yeah, Lucha Underground's
right.
coming up then.
Right. Definitely, and definitely the former Sin Cara, Mexico. He's down in Triple A. Going to probably be with Lucha Underground also, while they continue to grow their audience and they try to get on more networks. They're already on El Rey and Luna Mas. Now they working hard with Univision. That's where like they have the same viewership as the USA Network right there. If they can get on there and secure a deal with them, they could be the close to being the number two promotion. They would definitely double their audience, double or maybe even triple their audience by the end of this year.
Now, I'm not disagreeing with you, but Vince McMahon's been at the top of the mountain for the longest, forever, to be honest, ever since the territories got wiped out. Now, a lot of companies like TNA, WCW, and ROH have made their ways up that promotional ladder, and now Lucha Underground is doing the same thing. Do you think, not do you think, because I believe it's possible, but how quickly do you think they're going to be able to get to the top of that ladder and get close to WWE's product?
I would say even I would even give it maybe one and a half years, possibly, because they so far speaking to Conan and that's which their head booker along with Rodriguez, it would definitely they have a vision that it will go further, that they can possibly wake up WWE also of changing their game because it's bringing in a lot of Latino and an African American audience.
Okay.
And they definitely got that market right there, and they have even sponsorships now with cricket. One of their luchadores, Phoenix, is doing a commercial with cricket now. And they also talking to other sponsors also.
That's mind-blowing. You know, seeing that the wrestling world's predominantly white male-based, you know, and then you got Lucha Libre, where you got Hispanic culture taking over the wrestling world in a sense. Do you think that the African-American community could ever come together and build an organization as big as Lucha Underground or come close to the likes of ROH or TNA?
It's possible with they tried that with Urban Wrestling Federation that was on pay-per-view. They was trying to get a TV deal.
With Sean Cradle,
ago.
Right? Yeah,
yes.
Old school Cradle.
Right. But basically that it was a good work rate with the wrestlers, but the only thing is they was doing like Def Jam Vandana, and it seemed like it was too much of a stereotype. In which even talent was like complaining that they couldn't they wanted to wear their wrestling trunks. And didn't really like the getting killed off by guns and all this.
Oh wow, I didn't even know it was like that.
Right.
That's kind of a struggle that I face in a way, being an African American wrestler, you know? You've got to
right.
be very careful about the way you present yourself because perception is reality after all. And I try to present myself away from that stereotype. You know, I want to be something different. And I feel like it's almost easier to stand out as an African-American wrestler as long as you do try to break the mold of being that stereotype. How do you feel about that?
Right. Yes, it's definitely you can break the mold. Even with the Latino also, they have a stereotype also. When you see on either on the Raw programs with Black and Latinos, they're making a mockery of even I feel like the New Day making a mockery of like Kirk Franklin and a church choir. And,
Langston has the voice, man. He's got a really creative voice.
Right.
He's got almost like a Martin Luther King-esque voice, you know, that preacher inside
right.
of him.
Right, but let him be himself and Kofi Kingston. He can't he was on the right path like 4 years ago, feuding with Randy Orton, and even that time on Raw when he had the biggest pop when he was like continue bashing Randy Orton's car up and continue like the soft trash and stuff. That was
mm-hmm.
the best moment, but WWE took him down two or three spots. Because if they can do it right with the NBA, the NFL, the UFC and boxing with their African American athletes, they can do it in WWE with theirs.
Well, you may have a point there.
Right, and definitely with Mark Henry right there at that time when he. That time when he did the retirement angle, and that was the best moment right there when he turned on Cena right there.
Oh yeah, he had a lot left in the tank though.
Right. And it just kind of it just boggles the mind when he was getting jobbed out. To Cena with a simple, like a fireman's carrier into a pen, and he's actually supposed to be the strongest man in the world.
Well, I wouldn't say he jobbed out to John Cena. I mean, John Cena is the top guy in the company for a reason. He's He's been at that mountaintop, and he's maintained his position because of his talent. And a fireman's carry takedown like that is pretty huge on a guy like Mark Henry. You know the old saying, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And if they could take out a guy like Mark Henry, they can certainly take out a guy like Rusev. Speaking of which, WrestleMania 31 is about 2 weeks away. And you got John Cena versus Rusev, Wyatt versus Undertaker. You got Roman Reigns versus the Beast Incarnate Brock Lesnar. The ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship. The Divas Tag Team match. I think WrestleMania is pretty stacked.
Yeah, it's going to be, even though it's going to be good matches, but I would say it was a little bit kind of cold this year, though, for the WWE to, for their WrestleMania build-up. The matches look good on paper, but their angles kind of was, like, taking a little while to progress.
Oh, did you hear anything about Paul Heyman on the microphone, man? I mean, Paul Heyman talking about the Brock Lesnar Roman Reigns match. I mean, that's entertainment right there. And the match has just been
Paul Heyman. Right. Paul Heyman actually the best have the best mic skills in the business and how to promote to get guys over. I think this that would definitely help the match out right there. And we could possibly see a turn in WrestleMania also, even a swerve that, you never know, Heyman might have sides with Roman Reigns also. When he does go over, possibly go over Brock Lesnar more likely with these UFC rumors of him just walking out at the Mania.
Yeah, those rumors, man. Rumors are rumors. That's why they're called rumors. I can't believe anything I read on the internet anymore, man. I mean, you just got to wait to see it. I mean, tune into the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania if you don't watch it on the WWE Network for $9.99. I mean, and if you do have the network for just $9.99, and watch it there. And I mean, I guess all those rumors get dispelled that night, huh? But I couldn't see Paul Heyman turning on Brock Lesnar. That would be like me turning on that lion. Something like that just couldn't happen, especially with our big tag team match coming up this Saturday at Spring Fever in Frederick, Maryland.
Yeah. I said, I don't think he wouldn't turn on maybe the next night, align himself with a new client.
Oh, wow, that'd be something else.
Right. And because he was actually talking so much about, he'd been even managing his family for years ago, Heyman. Then I know his family also. He definitely know the background of his family.
Well, the NOI family is a really big family, and they're well documented. You got the Wild Samoans off in Sika. Then you got the Head Shrinkers and Rikishi and Samu. Got guys like Yokozuna, Haku. I mean, the Samoan family is stacked. The Rock. I'm not surprised he knows so much about Roman Reigns, and that could be his downfall this Sunday going against Brock Lesnar. I mean, when you got a family that big and all your information's out there, it's pretty easy to study you.
Right. Now, even with Tonga Kid, and there's more and more of their family coming up in this business.
Oh, yeah. Divas like Tamina Snuka, the Usos. Got guys that I've even had the pleasure to meet, like Lance Anoa'i. You know, the family tree is huge, and the talent just keeps on growing.
Right. Definitely. And Roman Reigns also, if they can let him be himself right there, because he had that charisma when he was an All-American at Georgia Tech for ACC.
Yeah.
He was, you know, had the charisma. He had the he was being himself on that field right there. If they can let him be himself, even
add it don't really have to be that much of a catchphrase with what he was saying, lock his fist and make it rain in his bitch, like that.
Yeah.
If he can add that to that also, he would be all right.
Yeah. Roman Reigns is a true talent, heart of a warrior. Speaking of which, have you heard of the new Roman Reigns, Heart of a Warrior, by Antoine, TV Savage, Moore?
I haven't heard of it yet. I've got to check that out.
Oh, yeah, I have to post a link on my wall, man, and tag you in it. I mean, it's a really good song, and Antoine Moore is a really talented individual, man. He actually made the Sudden Impact song. Our theme song. He's really a good guy.
Definitely. Also, do you what you think about the current situation in Impact Wrestling?
Oh, which one?
TNA Wrestling.
Which situation, though? What's going on? I hadn't heard anything.
Oh, it's just they now letting their talent now work for these indie companies that have internet pay-per-view now.
Oh.
And since they're not going to have house shows this year, they're going to be working more indies also. Besides doing the TNA tapings and the pay-per-views, they're going to be branching out also.
I think that's excellent, man. I mean, I love the house shows. I feel like house shows are where you're able to get your reps in, and if Impact's not having their house shows anymore, then I think it's great to allow the guys to get more exposure by going out here and working at other independent promotions. And not only that, but it gives the guys on the independent scene to be able to work caliber superstars such as the Impact roster. It makes everybody better as a whole.
Right, definitely. And it's definitely worth it. And they could end up being in MCW also later on this year also. More talent like Jeff Hardy that's already were on shows at MCW and even a host of others like EC3 or...
Oh, yeah, that would be awesome. Former TNA superstars Matt Hardy and the Boogeyman, as a matter of fact, are going to be at MCW this Saturday at the Spring Fever event, you know? Same event where Sudden Impact gets to wrestle Black Wall Street, but it's a really big thing to be able to have those guys come into the show, like you said. It gives us a whole lot more exposure, and it allows everyone to perfect their craft. I can't wait. This Saturday at MCW Spring Fever, it is going to be on.
Right. And definitely they've been putting on packed shows also.
We try to get the
people crowds
in the door.
Larger and larger.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Definitely. And I'm just still hoping that MCW, you never know, they might turn to possibly internet pay-per-view in the future also for everyone across the states that wants to see a product of MCW.
Well, hopefully, man. You never know. Hopefully, we don't know what Dan McDevitt or the powers that be, what they have in the works right now, but hopefully one day we can get to that level and we can allow everyone to experience Maryland Championship Wrestling at its finest.
Right.
But for now, got to come to the shows, follow us at MarylandWrestling.com and see what we've got to offer there. YouTube, social media, Facebook at Maryland Wrestling, Instagram at Maryland Wrestling, and Twitter, you know?
Right, definitely.
Speaking of which,
they got so much.
Go ahead.
Yes, they got so much. Even their
their daily hotline also, definitely, for upcoming events.
Oh, yeah.
And
we try to make things accessible by all means necessary, whether it's social media, email, hotline, any way you try to reach Maryland Championship Wrestling. We try to make it convenient for our fans and our followers. Anything to make the fans happy.
Right. Do you have anything to plug before this the show is up over with?
I just want to thank all my supporters and fans, everyone who supports Rick Powers, L.I. Green, Sudden Impact, and Maryland Championship Wrestling. Thank you for supporting us. And this Saturday at Frederick Maryland Indoor Sports Center, we're having our Spring Fever. Matt Hardy will be there. The Boogeyman will be there. Terry Ronalds will also be there. Hopefully you guys get to come out and see an amazing show. Thanks for having me.
Yes, it's an honor. You can come back to the show any time.
Thank you. That means a lot to me. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Even both of y'all, you and L.I. Green also.
Thank you. I'll let them know.
All right.
All right. Have a good night.
Have a good night, ladies and gentlemen. That was one half of Sudden Impact, Rick Powers. If you want to get in, get to this archive of the show, go to blogtalkradio.com under Wrestling X Factor Radio or at Wrestling X Factor Radio show group page on Facebook or the fan page at Wrestling X Factor Radio Show. Also, this is Wayne Benitez signing off. Later.
Go ahead, pop off, me and my clique put on. I'm like a young McMahon, I'm here to get your bitch off. Like I'm Ric Flair, middle finger to the big boss. Man, a.k.a. police, guess I'm over your head like it's all. Kill these niggas, that's no problem. Kill these niggas, want no problem. That chopper body like Hornswoggle, can't see you shot him like Sin Cara. Rolling rap, but that shit loud. It ain't mine if that shit not. Ladies hate when I rip rude, but they in love with this Jake. It's like nah, say hello to my python. I'm CM Punk with that mic, y'all. She go to sleep, cause my pipe bomb. Winning, blessed I be hurting feelings. Niggas is Curtis Axel, my rap is like Kurt Henning. In it, don't it? I'm such a charmer. Come crown Vic, not talking whip, I'm thinking Lawler. Cause I'm royalty, but we talking cars, it's not a problem. Just bought two big bodies, call them Kamala and Umaga. What up? You're talking to the black guy. My gang real, but I ain't never been no vampire. Look at all that ice he got on. Bigger than that icy title. Picking up my pill, man, cause I still feel like I'm flying Brian. Who high as I am? Who fly as I am? Life is a bitch, well, you this rich is more than life in China. Get it? Strong ass hoe. They can say they want that smoke. Well, I'm Papa Shango. I'll be hover playing low. Get the ganja, no steamboat. And I fly as a crossbody, but I'm tired of saying so. So I do so with new producers and a slew of my latest verses. And a ruthless like Rusev move, I'll be through with you niggas first. Get back to work. Talking to the bad guy, yeah Chico, you're talking to the, yeah Chico, you're talking to the bad guy, I'm too sweet, I dare you niggas act fly, yeah Chico, you're talking to the bad guy, yeah Chico, yeah Chico, you're talking to the bad guy, toothpick in your eye, I'm that guy, hey y'all. Look, something happened to these, something happened to you, okay? Hey, yo. Don't look like no Daniel B where they seeing me as a goat. Look, hey, yo. Something happened to these, something happened to you, okay? Hey, yo. You counting your little B's, my nigga, my G's mo. Gonna bother you with this rhyming, man. I five at niggas with rhyming. Heard they talking right from the sideline, like a part of me been declining. Nigga, argue often with liars. Beside that, I got no choice. Rather be he slater before I make it his doink. My point, I'd rather job than have my morals expire. Niggas getting back they brothers. I ain't toured in a while. Is you mad or nah? Is you rapping or rap? She wrapped my cigar. Light it up because I'm grateful I just made it this far. God is pale in comparison. It's a shame, it's a problem. I'm so over forever. Now my stadium is pop. Niggas sweet like they really were, but be faker than raw. Oh nah, they flaw. I got it. Oh please, Dwayne Johnson been number two around these parts. Oh nah. You know why? Cause most of my OGs in the 80s made a movie with Rock. Stop. Stop.
You talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico. You talking to the... Yeah, Chico. You talking to the bad guy. I'm too sweet. I dare you niggas act fly. Yeah, Chico. You talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico. Yeah, Chico. You talking to the bad guy.
Toothpick in your eye, boy. Don't ask why.